you compare the family to a solar system, the mother is the sun. She's the most influential force with the solar system. She gives life to everyone around them, and her sheer will keeps everyone in line and close to her. So I think that aptly describes how a mother is in the family unit. The title of today's message is Where is Your Treasure? So this is one of my favorite times of the year. I love the spring. It starts to get warm out. I have a Jeep. I get to take the tops off and enjoy some of the weather. And one of the things we all look to do, I think, around this time is we try to beautify our residences. We'll look to add some flowers to different areas, landscaping. We'll do some weeding, maybe some trimming or hedging the bushes, anything to kind of make everything look a little bit nicer. And while that is all good, as I think it's a great idea to care for what's been entrusted to you, I would ask one question. What are each of us doing to tend to our heavenly home? In John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you." So Jesus states that God is preparing a home for us. But when we get there, what is that home going to look like? When we cross that river, it says that we transition from physical bodies that we're currently in now into spiritual bodies. Philippians 3:20 states, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." So we're physically going to change, or who we are, or the status of who we are is going to be different when we get to heaven. So I'm assuming that our spiritual home is probably going to be a little bit different than our physical homes now. If you think about what a home is and what functions it provides, probably a lot of that's not going to be needed. Right? We have roofs and walls to protect us from the elements in heaven. Not sure if that's going to be required. We have bathrooms to clean ourselves. We have kitchens to cook food. So the homes that we're going to inherit in heaven could be quite different from the homes that we have on earth. But while these homes might be different, Jesus mentioned several times that there are treasures in heaven. So there will be things in heaven that we are going to place value on. If you could open up your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses, we're going to read verses 19 through 21. So that's Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21. And Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So God wants us to focus on his kingdom. His kingdom is where our hearts need to focus on and be. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth." You know, our time on this earth is a temporary stop. We're just passing through. Right? If we live 80, 100 years, that's pretty a long life on earthly terms. But in heaven, our time never ends. So we really need, as hard as it is, to take a step out of the moment and really keep our focus on the prize and where we're going to be going. Because this world is not our final destination. And we need to put God's kingdoms first in all things that we do. So to do that, our heavenly treasure needs to be more important than anything that we have or anything we focus here on earth. And Jesus warns us that earthly treasures can take our focus away from God and what he has plans for us. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me again to Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 17 through 31. So again, that's Mark 10, 17 through 31. And it says, as he being Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus responded again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people, it is impossible. But with God, for all things are possible with God." So I'm going to pause there before I continue. But the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach here isn't that people can't have nice things. It's that this man who came to Jesus valued those things above the things of God. I think the interesting thing about this exchange is that I believe both Jesus and the man knew the answers before the question was asked. Jesus most likely knew that the man had kept these commandments. He was just restating it to tell the man what he needed to do. And this man, I would think, probably knew how he was living his life. He knew that he was following those commandments as well. But he probably also knew that there was something that he was putting first, something that he was putting before God, which is why he was looking for justification. He went up to Jesus asking that question, looking for a way out. You know, one of the things that always confuses me about this passage is he says, "Good teacher," and Jesus says, "You know, why are you calling me good?" Obviously, Jesus was good, so I don't think he had an issue being called good. But I think it was almost, I think doing a little bit of research, it seems like most of the time they said rabbi or teacher. So he was saying good teacher maybe to, again, try to gain favor with maybe the answer that he wanted to hear. And Jesus probably picked up on that and said, "Why are you calling me good? Why are you trying to gather that favor, right? Why are you looking for something special in the question that you ask?" So I think he was looking for a pass from Jesus, kind of a way out to say, "You know, I do most of what you want, but I'm not giving you everything." But in the scripture, it says Jesus loved him because he probably loved the sincerity the man came with. He had this issue, but he wanted to draw closer. He was looking for a way towards God. And of course, Jesus gave him that way. He had to give up all that he had because the things that he had was keeping him separated from God, was creating that distance. And of course, that story has a tragic end, right? He can't give up the things that he holds on to because he valued them. He valued these treasures on earth more than what he's putting up in heaven. I know it's easy from us reading that story to say, "Oh, he screwed up. He didn't do the right thing." But I'm sure in that moment, you know, that man was very torn. And I'm sure it's very hard for each of us to kind of give up the things that we hold on to in this world. I think you can see this, how hard it was, by the way Jesus' disciples reacted to the proclamation. They were astonished. They were like, wow, is that what's necessary? So I want to pick up back at verse 28. And then Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who will be first will be last, and the last first." So what Jesus is saying there is whatever you have to give up to draw closer to God, you are going to receive 100 times fold. And Jesus gives the exact same answer here, the brothers, the mothers, the farms. It's not going to be the exact same thing. I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he was saying is what you give, you are going to give, you are going to get back. And it's going to be more rewarding than whatever you gave up. It may not be the same, but it's going to be better. But he also said it's going to come with persecutions. So if you give up whatever God asked you to give up that's keeping you from him, it's not going to be all sunshine and roses the rest of the way. There's still going to be trials. There's still going to be persecutions. But in the end, you know, we are rewarded with eternal life. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me for one last passage. This is in Luke chapter 12. Verses 29 through 34. So that's Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 34. And it says, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things are what the nations of the world eagerly seek. And your Father knows that you need these things, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts that do not wear out, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor does a moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So God is asking all of our hearts to be on him, to put him first, and to do all things in his name. So I wanted to close with a little story I had this week. I was trying to remove a tire stem valve. So if you're familiar with how tires work, it's how you inflate the tire. And there's a little cap on top. And this cap corroded, and I couldn't get it off. So as you can imagine, I have a busy work week. I'm working with my son with his homework during the week. I don't have a lot of time during the week to kind of tend to these types of things. But trying to get this cap off, and it won't come off. So I go, well, maybe I got to get a rag or something, get a little tighter handle on it. I get a rag, can't get this thing moving. So I have some spray that's supposed to like loosen up bolts and things. So, you know, I spray on it, got the rag, turning this thing as hard as I can, can't move. So I can't keep working on this today. I said, all right, I gotta go away for it today. So I said, maybe I'll let this stuff seep in a little bit. Maybe it'll be easier tomorrow. So the next day, when I have a little bit of free time, I go back outside, and I take 2 pliers. So I take the first plier, I'm trying to turn it. It's moving, but I realize it's just the stem that's moving with it. So I'm not really doing anything. So I take the 2nd plier, I hold it at the base, I have this other plier, I'm doing this as hard as I can, thing ain't budging. So I'm sitting there, sweating, starting to get aggravated, and I say, you know what, I'm going to have to give up today because I can't figure this out. So I go back inside, go on a computer, I start doing YouTube videos, how to get this stem off because I'm stuck. Right? So somebody says, oh, you can heat it up with like a blowtorch. And you can, you know, it'll warm up and it'll expand and it'll loosen. So I'm like, all right, it's an idea. It's not something I wanted to do. I saw another video and they're like, yeah, you can take a power tool and chisel it off and, you know, cut it off. So I'm like, I don't really want to take a power tool. So anyway, so I'm looking at this. Next day, I go out, I try the heat method. All right, so I don't have a blowtorch, so I got the little thing that you light the grill with. Right, but I got it under there, I'm heating this, I'm standing there for 5 minutes. And all right, let me try to move this thing. Cranking it, not budging. I was like, I can't believe this thing won't come off. It hasn't been on there that long. So at this point, I'm really frustrated. So I go, all right, I'm getting the power tools. So I take out the Dremel, I put my goggles on. I go out there, I'm slicing this thing. I've got to be real careful not to hit anything else. And then finally, third day, finally get this thing off. And then, you know, I'm putting this message together, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, how much energy, how much focus, how much time did I put towards this thing? And this is what I got to show for it. Right? I didn't even need to fill the tire. It could have been something I could have done, you know, another time, but it was kind of consuming me, and it was taking up all my energy, all my focus. And I said, you know, I'm putting this message together, and I said, this is not what God wants. God wants us to focus on Him first. Not that this didn't have to come off, it did, but it was the idea that I kind of was putting it in front of everything else. And I wasn't putting the focus where it needed to be. So I think I'm going to keep this, maybe put it on my desk as a little reminder. And anytime I kind of get frustrated or my focus goes away from God, I'm going to kind of look at this and kind of use it to kind of keep my focus back where it needs to be. So it's said that, you know, a mother's love on Mother's Day is probably the closest thing on earth that we have to the love of God. So if, as we leave this sanctuary today, let us do our best to emulate that mother's love towards our Heavenly Father. Because when our heart is focused on Him, that's where we will build up our treasures in His kingdom and not here. Amen. Jonathan?